Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess is out of town, but you know what? He can chew gum and walk. He's on the show today because he's not on a plane like yesterday. Jess, I just want to say I'm reporting for duty, brother. Are you?
I'm reporting for duty, sir.
Amen, Terry, brother.
I'm 10-8 for Jesus.
10-8 for Jesus. All right. Well, we've got an interesting show today, and I'll tell you why. A priest, good Catholic priest says, hey, look, my six thoughts on a priest's moral analysis of COVID vaccines. And he has, what I would say, the greatest resources in this article on our show page. You should get them because this article shows things that we've talked for the last year and a half from doctors, comments. It's all there for your research. That's going to be a big part of our show. And also, Jess, I've got some good news stories, you know, where people are fighting back at the COVID-19 issues. And it's inspiring because people say to me, Terry, Jesse, I mean, I read some people calling us Nazis yesterday on the air, and then other people saying, you guys are our heroes for the next generation. You're giving us inspiration. So it's either one or the other. But the point I'm saying, brother, is I've got some good news stories in the last segment I want to just bring up that should inspire you to continue to fight. Because, Jess, here's the bottom line, brother. If we don't, our religious freedom, everything else goes out the window, because if these elite people take over, then they are the ones who are going to decide who lives and who dies. Talk about euthanasia. That's what they're going to be doing to us. So we have to stop them at the pass and make a stand. That's my take, Jess.
We got to call this Pope Felix the Third Radio.
There you go. Pope Felix, St. Pope Felix the Third Radio. Hey, Brother Jess.
Hey, before, let me just tell people, I'm in Ozona, Texas. I want to give a shout out to everybody.
Where the heck is Ozona? Where is that near, Jess?
Ozona is near, I think, where's Ozona near?
Outside of San Angelo.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. That gives people a little idea.
Yeah, and so I'll be here tonight. I'll be flying home tomorrow morning.
Awesome.
Wonderful. The Texan people are just so warm. Not that they're not warm everywhere else, but there's just something special about this state.
Heartbeat.
The people are
state.
Just, yeah, I mean, everybody here says y'all. I like when I come here.
Yeah.
And y'all, how y'all doing and stuff. It just and the people, Terry, are just so genuine and tender.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a place that believe it or not, Jesse, before we get to the gospel, and we're going to do some soul food. Texas is going to be probably a very popular state, especially if the Supreme Court makes this decision in June of next year that Roe versus Wade is out, and then it becomes the fight over states. Different states will provide abortion, other states won't. And believe me, brother, I will not be in a state that provides abortion with my tax dollars if I have an option like that, brother.
And you have a lot of tax dollars, Terry.
Yeah, there you go, brother. I hear you.
Hey,
let's get some soul food in our soul, Jess. The gospel.
Yes, sir.
Today's gospel.
Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 9, verses 27 to 31.
Yep.
As Jesus passed by, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Son of David, have pity on us." When he entered the house, the blind men approached him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" "Yes, Lord," they said to him. Then he touched their eyes and said, "Let it be done for you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread word of him through all that land, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Terry, when you fall in love with Jesus and you see the mighty works of our Savior and his message, you can't keep your mouth shut.
Exactly.
And that's what the apostles, when they see the mighty majesty of Christ, they could not keep their mouth shut. They went throughout the land to spread the word of God. And Terry, these two blind men that followed our Lord, and they said, "Son of David, have pity on us." Why do they call him Son of David? Because in his humanity, he comes from the line of kings. Joseph was a king. Most people don't know that, because he comes from the line of King David and all the way through the Davidic dynasty. So this is why they call him Son of David. And notice these blind men that approached him, Jesus asked them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" "Yes, Lord." Then he touched them with their eyes. "Let it be done for you according to your faith." And so Jesus is such a gentleman. He heals people, but he asks them, Terry. He's not like Dr. Frankenstein Fauci that says, "You've got to take the vax. You're all going to be sick with COVID-19. You got to take," or or an elected Joe Biden who says, I'm getting really mad. I'm getting really mad. You better take the vaccination. No. Jesus asked people, do you want to be healed? Jesus didn't say, you're sick? Get over here. I'm going to force you. Roll up your sleeve here. I'm going to stick the jab in you. There's the difference between Christ and the world, Terry.
Yep.
Terry Jesus wants to give us healing of our soul, and the world, Terry, wants to give us pure communist propaganda.
Well said, brother, and that's the thing. Jesus opened my eyes in my life to see the meaning and purpose of life. And again, Jesse, if you went to a fine dinner, wouldn't you tell your friends about that particular restaurant? Of course you would. Say, hey, we had a great dinner over here. Check it out. Well, there's nothing greater. Oh, let's say even a vacation. Hey, I went to Hawaii. Hawaii's amazing. You got to go there. Okay, you tell everybody. What about heaven? What about salvation? That's on another level. So as you say in the scriptures here, it says that they went out and spread the word about him throughout the entire land. That's what we do here at Virgin Most Powerful, because we are committed to that. As a matter of fact, Jesse, yesterday when I was interviewing Bishop Strickland, he said it right on the air. He said, we're living in times where some of us are going to be called to give our lives for this truth about Jesus Christ. He said, I see it coming. He said, I'm willing to do that. Are you, Terry? I said, please, God, yes, Bishop Strickland. I will give my life for Jesus Christ. Absolutely, I want to do that. Please pray that I have the grace to do that. He's saying it's coming. Well, he's one man. He's a successor of the apostle. But you know what? He sees things the way they are because we're under siege right now. So I just want to say, you know, Jesus Christ opens your eyes not to do nothing. He's opening your eyes to spread the message of him and the good news of Jesus Christ's gospel, not to tell you the good news about saving bottles or, you know, that's all understandable. I get all that. Put some solar panels up. No, what he's about is the salvation of souls. He really is not here to say the earth is not going to last. There's going to come a time when it's gone. But there's one thing that will last, and it's your soul. Unless you realize that, you're going to live for this world. That's my take from that gospel, Jess.
Perry, and also the gospel is not medical advice.
You think?
Jesus says, don't worry about those that can kill the body. Worry about him who can kill the soul. That's God and God alone.
Yep.
And so the gospel provides healing for the soul. The Eucharist is called the medicine of immortality. It's not a cheeseburger. It's not a pizza. It's not something that's supposed to sustain your bodily life. Also, Terry, I want to just say St. Francis of Xavier, pray for us.
Oh, he's a great saint.
He's a founding member of the Jesuit order. Mm-hmm. St. Francis Xavier accepted a commission to preach the gospel to the peoples over in the Middle East, in the East.
Right.
He arrived first at India.
That's right.
He began his work catechizing the Portuguese. And from there, he traveled to India, Sri Lanka, Malaysia, and then finally Japan.
Yep.
In a letter he wrote from India, here's what he said, quote, I looked or desired for nothing here but to wear myself out with work and sacrifice my life itself in bringing about the salvation of souls. He reminds me of Venerable Fulton Sheen, says I'd rather burn out than rust out.
Yeah, that's right.
And so St. Francis of Xavier, he says, firm through and determined, St. Francis was always looking for a way to extend the reach of the gospel. He was preparing to enter this territory of China when he died in 1552 AD. St. Francis of Xavier.
Pray for us. Hey, let's bring in Fulton Sheen, the smartest guy in the world. Fulton Sheen ahead. Think about this, Jesse. We're talking about a decaying civilization. We're dying as a culture, okay? We see that. Here's what Bishop Sheen says. It is a characteristic of any decaying civilization that the great masses of people are unaware of the tragedy. Check mark, that's right, our culture, nobody realizes it, very few. Humanity in a crisis is generally insensitive to the gravity of the times in which they live, right? Men do not want to believe their own times are wicked. Well, that's for sure. Partly because they have no standard outside of themselves by which to measure their times. If there is no fixed concept of justice, how shall man know it is violated? Here's what he said, the cash value. Only those who live by faith really know what is happening in the world. Jesse, I want to repeat that statement. Only those who live by faith really know what is happening in the world. The great masses without faith are unconscious of the destructive processes going on because they've lost the vision of the heights from which they have fallen. Jesse, he nailed it. That's our situation right now. I mean, you agree?
Absolutely, Terry.
Yep.
But again, the good news is yep. that Happy New Year's Catholic Church. We're in the Advent season. The very first day of Advent is the Catholic New Year's.
Yep.
So our New Year's is before January 1st. We started New Year's the first day of Advent. So Happy New Year's Catholic Church. And what are we waiting for? We're waiting for the second Advent, the final coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when he will come in power and glory.
That's right.
To those that want mercy, he will give them mercy. Those that live and die in a state of grace will receive the mercy of Christ. Those that die in a state of mortal sin, unrepentant, unconfessed mortal sin, will receive the justice of Christ.
You nailed it, brother. You just gave the message of Christianity. And you know what, folks? That's what we're here for. Hey, when we come back, I've got Paul Harvey. You know, one says, good day. Talk about the devil, because this is our own time. When you hear what he has to say, you're going to say he's spot on, and this was done 55 years ago. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess is out in Texas doing another mission. Jess, you do the job of like three or four guys in the sense of spreading the faith, and I just want to acknowledge your zeal for the love of souls, and keep it up, brother, and stay healthy.
Gracias.
Yeah, Jesse, I want to bring in Paul Harvey. This was done in 1965, folks, and it's titled If I Were the Devil. We play it probably once or twice a year, because it's so powerful. Please play that clip.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey. Good day.
Wow. Jesse, I wrote down several things he said are just prophetic. I mean, take over the churches. But what's going on today? When who tells churches when to open and when to close? The government.
The government does.
Yeah. Now, in 1965, that wasn't happening, Jesse. This man was prophetic. I used to listen to him when I was a child. My dad loved Paul Harvey, but I never really thought much. But when I heard that, if I were the devil, so many years later, I thought, man, the guy talked about the Bible as a myth. Jesse, I've run into Catholics and Protestants who say, yeah, that's just a man speaking. That's there's nothing eternal about that. You've heard all that crummy stuff. And then what he said about drugs and pills and families at war. You know what I see the biggest family at war right now is over COVID-19. There's people who want to get vexed and those who don't. And it's causing mom and dad. I've been counseling people on this. This whole thing is happening. Paul Harvey nailed it. And then when he talked about undressing people back in 1965, oh, come on, Jesse. I know that there were bad magazines. Playboy had been out for 10 years or something like that. It was always hidden. Now, all you do is you turn a TV on or you see a period. It's on your phone. They're sending you pornography every day, hitting you up to try and get you to commit mortal sin. This is what Paul Harvey predicted. It's happening.
That, Terry, the devil, the way he operates, right from Scripture, he's a liar.
Yep, from the beginning.
And a deceiver.
Yep.
So as long as you know that, and the devil uses media, politics, education to lie to us in many instances and to deceive us. And he's also using, again, we're dealing right now, Terry, not with medicine. We're dealing with politics. Yeah. We're dealing with raw power. And the devil is using the medical experts against us to weaponize medicine against us. And there's a Catholic priest. His name is not mentioned in the article for obvious reasons. Yeah. He would be drawn and quartered and hung.
Yeah, you think?
He'd be hung by his toes.
Yeah.
But the article is called A Priest's Moral Analysis of the COVID Vaccines. And what he does, Terry, he outlines a series of incredible moral arguments.
Oh, yeah.
Each of these arguments could stand alone by itself.
That's true.
But what he does in this article, he demonstrates that this vaccination, Terry, this is what the experts call it, is immoral.
Yep.
As the way we see them right now, as they're currently employed, here's the first one, the first thing that he says. And I love the fact that he's quoting from pre-1965 manuals.
Yep.
I hate to say that, but after 1965, a lot of Novo Theologia and modernist manuals came into the Catholic Church. So you have to really watch what you trust in terms of. Yeah. So this book that he draws his arguments from comes from a book called Moral and Pastoral Theology in 1949, way before the Council, the Vatican II. And he says, number one, using human subjects as lab rats, he's quoting the Moral Pastoral Theology manual, doctors may not use the bodies of the sick as a corpus vile for experimenting with uncertain remedies when sure remedies can be used.
Right.
When there are no sure remedies, a doctor may test the remedial nature of newly discovered drugs if there is no patient. What are they doing? They're using us as lab rats. They're using us as guinea pigs. And by the way, he also points out that doctors are saying that nothing could be more uncertain than using mRNA type vaccines or treatments.
That's true.
Which are completely novel, never before seen, not even tested on animals.
No.
And he points out a series of articles you can read from Dr. Suma Swamithan, who's the World Health Organization, the chief scientist. Did you hear what I said? Look at his credentials. World Health Organization chief scientist. He says this: at the moment, I don't believe we have evidence of any of the vaccines to be confident that it's going to be that it's going to prevent people from actually getting the infection and therefore being able to pass it on. This is from the chief scientist of the WHO. He quotes Dr. Michael Yeadon,
yeah,
who's the former vice president for Pfizer, who says the same thing, Terry.
Oh, man. Jesse,
keep going, brother.
He nails it. Yeah. Yeah. And Jesse, what I love about him is he gives you all the documentation, the videos you can watch. So the show page, you should really look at it. Let me just mention, I'm kind of a Joe Sixpack kind of guy. Common sense is, you know, not that common. But think of it this way. If I don't get vaccinated, I'm 100% protected against the vaccine side effects. And I'm 99.8% protected against COVID. That, you know, that seems like a pretty good deal for me, Jess. Think about that, bro. I'll repeat it because people say to me when I tell them that, they go, wow, that's pretty good. If I don't get vaccinated, I'm 100% protected against the vaccine side effects. So many people are dying and getting sick and having all kinds of issues. So I won't get that. And then think about this. I'm 99.8% protected against COVID because that's how many people survive. Now, that's a good deal. So when we cover all this, we have to look and think in common sense. Where it seems to me, Jesse, is this there. What did President Trump tell us the other day? Or he told us early in time of last year, he said, the remedy could be worse than the sickness. And that's what I see happening right now is people are saying, I got to get vaxxed. Well, think about this. In this article that the priest wrote, he said, every time someone receives one of those Merck or Pfizer vaccines, he comes in union with the violent, horrific sacrifice of hundreds of babies, okay, who, at the request of at least one of his parents, were delivered alive. That's another point that most people won't say, oh, it's just an abortion. No, they were delivered alive, then carefully, I hate to have to say this, Jesse, stretched out, gutted, like you got a deer as you got. I've got deers.
Yeah, I didn't know any of this.
Yeah,
when
I did
read this article. Oh, I didn't know the details. I knew they used aborted fetal cells.
Yeah,
but this article went into detail. Yeah, I've never heard this before anywhere else.
I have the C-section. They take it. It's like a baby being born because they want the cells fresh as ever. So they slice apart the baby, and you know what? Father does a good job by the satanic priest scientist. Why did they say that, Jesse? Because that's the work of the devil. That's why.
Yes.
I mean, this priest really gets it. His tender...
Go ahead. This section of the article, Jared, this is worth for us going slowly
Go ahead. Continue on it.
It's part number three.
Yeah.
I didn't know the extent of this.
See,
because, Terry, you got a lot of our moral theologians in our church.
Yeah, they do the gymnastics.
I won't mention any names, Terry, but these are high people in our church.
I know.
They're saying...
So long ago. Remote participation.
Mm-hmm. It happened 40, 50 years ago. Get over it. They're not doing that anymore. Well, somebody's lying, Terry.
I know.
Either this article's the truth or our moral theologians are lying to us because they're saying, don't worry. You can get the jab. It happened decades ago. That's not happening no more. Okay, this article says this. Somebody's lying to us, Terry.
Right, either one.
Aborted fetal cells. This is worth going slowly. Aborted fetal cell lines are being used for the making and the testing of the vaccines.
That's
I
right.
knew that.
Yep, of course.
In order to really appreciate the gravity of the aborted fetal cells, there's a video attached to this article you need to watch.
Oh, gosh.
Okay?
Yeah.
You need to watch that video and you'll say, ain't getting
not
the
me.
Jab. It's absolutely essential to watch the video attached to this article because then you're going to be able to process everything that this article is saying. So this priest says, who wants to remain anonymous because he probably doesn't want to find himself poisoned to death. he says, to produce the cell line.
Hang on a second, Jesse. We're going to take a quick break. I want you to continue on this. This is a priest. He said, 6 thoughts on a moral analysis of COVID vaccines. This would take hours to watch all of the material he gives you. We're going to give you a summary of it, but it's very powerful. Stay with us. We hate to have to do this, but you know what? People need to know the truth because it's the truth is what sets us free. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. We're fired up because we're trying to save lives. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jess is out in Texas doing a parish mission, and we've been talking about this priest who has a six thoughts on a priest's moral analysis of the COVID vaccine. Powerful stuff. We're not going to get to it all, but Jess, you were in the middle of giving us really information.
His third thought yeah. is the most powerful.
Yeah, let's do it.
As it relates to Catholics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he's talking about the spiritual dimension of this vaccine, which nobody talks about.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Father Chad Ripperger does. Go ahead.
Yeah, Father Ripperger did.
He did.
Kyle Kellerman. People are trying to talk about it now, but. And Archbishop Vigano talks about it, the spiritual component. Bishop Strickland talks about it. Bishop Schneider. So more and more people are talking about the spiritual, the false Eucharist that this is.
Yes.
So the priest writes, now I didn't know this, to produce the cell line used in the development of Merck and Pfizer vaccines, scores of babies, probably hundreds.
Yes.
I didn't know any of this. Were delivered alive by the abortionist via C-section.
Oh, my God.
And then handed over to the scientists who immediately stretched out the baby like a cross and gutted him out alive, kicking and struggling in order
to
get the desired tissues.
If that doesn't make you upset, I don't know what does. Go ahead.
This is clearly satanic.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, shocking.
This same cell line was not only used in the development of these vaccines, but as pointed out in the above video and article, it's apparently being used in the production phase. Here it is. I didn't know this. Of each new batch for quality control purposes.
Yep.
Terry, guess what our moral theologians are telling
they
us?
They missed it.
They're saying, nothing to see here. Those things happened. Those experiments happened 40, 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
You can take the vaccine. Well, this priest who wishes to remain anonymous, and I know why, he doesn't want to have a bullet in his head. He's saying that the production being used in these phases are new batches of what? Aborted babies for quality control purposes.
Yep.
Terry, this takes my argument to a whole new level.
I agree with you, brother.
I wasn't this whole like, I don't know, 40, 50 years ago.
It's still a baby. I don't care how long myself. But
Are you? No. But then my argument to these moral theologians.
Yeah.
I say, well, Adam and Eve, they committed original sin.
A long time ago.
I don't know, 10,000 years ago. I don't know. I mean. But then I guess since it happened so long ago, we don't have to baptize our children, right?
Baloney.
The effects of what Adam and Eve did, that happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
Baloney.
Yeah.
We're still baptizing people every day because the effects of original sin are still manifest today. Well, this is happening right now. Then it says, apparently this is not a very serious concern for many of our religious leaders.
You think?
Abby Johnson, a prophet amongst us, a lay prophet, has called all the bishops. God bless her.
I saw it on YouTube.
And that's a sad commentary for our times because it seems to be like Abby Johnson and Lila Rose, these two female Catholics seem to have.
Joan of Arc, man.
Yeah, they seem to make more sense than many of our.
I agree with that.
Theologians or religious leaders. Look at this sentence.
Yes,
read the priest. The bottom line is that we're either for abortion or against it.
Yep.
Either we're for using fetal cells derived from abortions or we're against it. Either we're for using vaccines manufactured using fetal cells or we're against it. Is it really morally acceptable to possibly extend our lives, which is a dubious claim at best, by means which employ the sacrifice of babies?
Great question.
What I would call a false Eucharist. Terry, you and me were at the bishop's conference in a peaceful protest.
Yep.
This is one of the topics they should have talked about.
Of course.
Because if this is true, and I know it is, This should have been hotly debated and saying, guess what? We as bishops have to unify and we have to say with a national voice, you cannot take the vaccine because of additional scientific information that we've just discovered. Every production phase has a new batch of aborted babies for quality control purposes. This is how they make these vaccines. An aborted baby taken off via C-section, handed over to the monster scientists, stretch out the baby on a cross, and take out the desired tissue as he's alive. This is what the bishop should have discussed.
Terry. I agree. Black and white Catholicism, Jesse. If they accuse us of being Nazis, they accuse us of being overreacting. Well, I'll go ahead and accuse me because I want to stand up for those babies. If we don't, who will? And Jesse, this needs to be told over and over again and challenged because if we don't speak for the truth, I mean, here's the thing that I've said this. I think I've used this hundreds of times on the air. And I think of it often, and it's basically a quote from a great saint. And you know what happened? They used my studio. My number's not in front of me. Here it is. Saint Pope Felix III, not to oppose error. This is error, Jesse. What you just said is error about killing unborn babies to get a benefit from it. No, not to oppose error is to approve it. Not to defend truth is to suppress it. And indeed, to neglect to confound evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them. I apply this to the abortion issue right now. If we just say, oh, well, come on, it was a long time ago. Oh, well, abortions are going to take place whether we like it or not. Let's just get along. Let's just deal with it and don't get too upset about it because nothing we can do. Wrong. There's a lot we can do about it. Matter of fact, Jesse, we might have to give our very life to protect the unborn someday because they're going to be killing. I'll just make it personal, Jesse. That little baby that was murdered 40 years ago, 10 years ago, if that was your grandson or granddaughter, would it become a little more personal to you? Of course it would be. But you know what, Jesse? The value of that baby isn't because of who their mother or father or their relatives. It's because God created that child in his image. That's why we want to protect that baby. And we need to do that. If we don't, I feel like the whole world is going to just explode from our sinful behavior because the price of sin, and this is, again, my take from the scriptures, sin, the price of sin is violence. And what's going to happen to all of our culture is it's going to explode because we've been so violent with the least of our brothers, the babies in wombs.
You've already seen the explosion of violence.
Yep.
Many over in California, crime has increased 100%.
Oh, yeah.
All the law enforcement, murder, robbery.
L.A. County, same thing.
So you're talking about violence. It's happening right now under the unelected Joe Biden administration. Yep. Crime is up 100%. By the way, Terry,
yes.
here's what a modernist will tell you about your Pope Felix the third quote. I'm telling you.
I want to hear what they would say.
I don't care what he says. That's pre-1965. I don't care what you say, Terry.
Well, the Bible is pre-1965,
too. Well, I'm just telling you, half of the priests and bishops would tell you.
That's because they lost their faith, Jesse.
Get rid of that quote.
Jesse, you know what, brother? They lost their faith if they say that. They don't have a supernatural view. And Strickland called him out several years ago at a bishop's conference. Why am I so bent out of shape? Jesse, we're talking about life issues here, man. We should be fired up. Go ahead.
Well, I'll give you something post-1965 that all these modernists could put in their pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, what is it?
You got Cardinal Pujats, Archbishop Pita, Archbishop Lenga, Bishop Strickland, and Bishop Schneider.
Yeah.
They wrote a letter.
Yeah.
It's very short. The letter's called On the Moral Illicitness of the Use of Vaccines Made from Cells Derived from Aborted Human Fetuses. So these five bishops, after Vatican II, modernists, okay?
Take that one.
Here's what they wrote.
Yeah.
Quote, it's very short. In the case of vaccines made from cell lines of aborted human fetuses, we see a clear contradiction between the Catholic doctrine to categorically and beyond the shadow of any doubt reject abortion in all cases as a grave moral evil that cries out to heaven for vengeance. That's a reference to Catechism 2268, 2270.
Yep.
And the practice of regarding vaccines derived from aborted fetal cell lines as morally acceptable in exceptional cases of urgent need on the grounds of remote passive material cooperation, To argue that such vaccines can be morally licit if there's no alternative is in itself contradictory and cannot be acceptable for Catholics.
Amen.
This is the key to Japan prophecies, bishop against bishop.
Yep.
These five great bishops said, the Lord said that in the end times, even the elect will be seduced. Yep. You see, a lot of the elect
be seduced. It's happening, brother.
Today, the entire church and all Catholic faithful must urgently seek to be strengthened in the doctrine and practice of the faith. In confronting the evil of abortion, more than ever, Catholics must abstain from all appearance of evil, as St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Bodily health is not an absolute value. Obedience to the law of God and the eternal salvation of the souls must be given primacy.
Amen.
In other words, going to mass is more important than going to the gym and doing push-ups, okay?
Yes.
Vaccines derived from the cells of cruelly murdered unborn children that continues to happen are clearly apocalyptic in character and may possibly foreshadow the mark of the beast. Revelation 13:16. Bam! Boy, that's those five bishops speaking like apostles.
Not only apostles, prophets, man. Woo! Those guys nailed it. And Jesse, I'd like to cover a little bit more on this article, and then I have maybe 5 minutes of good news stories, because this is so important, this whole article. I want people to make sure they can get this article. And the title of the article, Jesse, again, can you read that title again? I haven't had it here in a minute ago.
Yeah.
Six thoughts on a priest's moral analysis on COVID vaccines. Yeah, that's it. And you can.
And before this article.
Yeah.
I'm 100% against getting a vaccine for myself and my family. Yeah. After this article, I'm 110% convinced.
Right.
Before this article, I was 100% convinced. Now I'm 110% convinced.
Of course. And I think more people are opening their eyes right now to this. And that's why we got to keep hitting the metal with the pedal. People are saying, well, why do you keep talking about this? Folks, if this issue doesn't get addressed, everything else is mute. And we're going to talk more about this when we come back. I even mentioned a German politician. He's demanding accountability from COVID shot manufacturers. That wasn't happening a year and a half ago. Now people are saying, wait a minute, what's in this thing? Wait till you find out, because it's going to scare you to say, I don't want that in my system. I know you don't. That's why we're sharing this information with you, because we want you to be well-informed, high-information Catholic. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
And we're honored to be back. Folks, what we've had to tell you today is very disturbing. And I think this priest whose article called Six Thoughts on a Priest's Moral Analysis of COVID Vaccines, he just gives you all these resources. You're going to probably take 3 or 4 hours to go through and watch all the videos, read all the articles. Very much worth it, Jess. Let's give another 5 or 6 more minutes before I give some good news stories we finish up the show with. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, Terry, on his point number four, the article finishes off with 4 points. To get the larger article, you have to click on the link to get the 6 points. But we only has 4 points in this article. Mm-hmm. He talks about the way modern technology is doing something very ancient. Mm-hmm. It's what they're doing right now with this vax. It has historical precedent. So he's quoting Eusebius, the great church historian. And he describes the way Eusebius talks about that back in the time right after Christ, in the time of the Roman Empire, when the Catholic Church was just starting in utero, the New Testament was just starting to grow.
Yeah.
That men and women, and even infants, they were forced to offer sacrifices and oblations to these false Roman gods and Greek gods. And then they were also made, what they would do is, and St. Paul talks about that to the Corinthians, about the Romans would consecrate their food and drinks to demons. And so they would make the Christians drink and eat these foods that were sold in the market that were consecrated to demons.
Yep.
And so Eusebius talks all about this, and it's in the article. You had even this one wicked Roman emperor, very famous, called Julian the Apostate. Mm-hmm. He would have all this cursed food that was consecrated to demons.
Wow.
Again, he would put it up for sale in the markets. Mm-hmm. And he would secretly corrupt the food by sprinkling blood on that food, polluted blood that had been consecrated to demons.
Wow.
And again, he would make the Christians eat this food. So this is the point that the priest is making, that right now through these vaxes, we're going back to a pagan type of ritual, where they're making us now, Terry, by executive fiat, partaking in fellowship with sacrifices, because even Satan, this isn't Jesse Romero, Lucian Greaves, who's the Pope of the Satanists in America, he says abortion is a sacrament to Satan. Lucian Greaves says, I don't want to say his name too often. He says abortion is a blood sacrifice to Satan.
Wow.
And so when you take of these cells from aborted fetals, from aborted babies, what you're doing is that blood, Terry, is a blood sacrifice to Satan, and you're taking it into your body.
Unbelievable.
This is what Eusebius of Caesarea writes about in his ecclesiastical history book, book 3, chapter 15. This is a pagan practice. And in spiritual warfare, Terry, they call this pagan practice a malefice.
Wow.
A malefice. What is a malefice? Hmm. A malefice is when you take a physical object and it's cursed or consecrated to the devil, and you give this physical object to somebody else to ingest it or to drink it. This vax, Terry, the article is arguing, it's a form of a satanic malefice.
Wow.
And this is way beyond the physical and the science. This is spiritual. And I think 2 weeks ago, there was a Greek Orthodox priest that's an exorcist.
Uh-huh.
He talked about the fact that during a session of exorcism, the demon basically told him, he was interrogating the demon in the possessed person. And the demon said, "I'm coming into people's bodies through the vaccination. That's how I'm getting into people's bodies." Terry, this is happening more and
more. Jesse, repeat that one more time, because people are going to say, "What did he say?" Say it again. This is powerful.
Well, I can tell you is I have access to some of the greatest exorcists in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And what's being reported, as they say, in the field, in the field, as a cop, what's being reported in the field is in many of these sessions of exorcism around the United States and even over in Europe and across the country,
mm-hmm.
Because they share intel, exorcists share intel,
sure.
And I have access to some of this intel.
Mm-hmm.
They're sharing stories that during sessions of exorcism, when they're driving the demons out and the priests are forcing the demons to speak, the demons are saying, "We're coming into the bodies and possessing people through the blood, the fetal blood cells in the vaccines."
That is incredible. Jesse, I want to end on a good note. We have some good news where people are fighting back. The California city approved a motion to reject any state or federal COVID mandates. This is a city of Oroville. It's in Northern California. It says, "I think it's time for us to draw a line in the sand." And that's what they're doing. They're creating a constitutional republic city. So there's one story that should give you a little inspiration. Another one, California business leaders, doctors join forces to fight COVID vaccine mandates. We're joining them as a California business in California. And this group is calling for the Unity Project, fighting back Governor Newsom's COVID injection mandate. So there are some people fighting back. And Jesse, just another quick note to back up Father's article. The spike protein in COVID viruses and shots, they're weakening the immune system, and it's also being linked to cancer. This is a Swedish study. So all this is coming out. The longer we wait, the more this information is going to show that it was a disaster to get the COVID vaccine. Also, you'll like this one, Jesse. Harvard-trained lawyer wants Fauci.
It was a planned disaster.
Exactly, a planned disaster. Harvard-trained lawyer wants Fauci COVID-pushing lawmakers prosecuted for conspiracy to commit murder. And I agree with them. And Jesse, this is one more thing that people are finally waking up. Even in Italy, they're facing a demographic crisis. And Italy just approves incentives to have babies. They're going to pay people like China, like other countries that realize, hey, wait a minute.
Russia.
All the, we got to get, If we don't have the future citizens, who's going to buy the food? Who's going to buy this? Who's going to be making our economy work? So it seems that we're right at this precipice right now. We're right there, Jesse, where we can make it or break it. And that's why I want to encourage our listeners to pray hard. Like right now, we're going to church from 12 to 3. We'll be in church. Father Wolfgang will have a 1 o'clock mass. If you're in Southern California, you want to join us for adoration, we're going to pray, not just speak and talk. Okay, that's important. But our prayers are also very powerful. I can't think of anything more powerful than the holy sacrifice of the mass. Jess, finish up the show from Texas with us, please.
Terry, just want to just say that.
Yeah.
Remember that the Holy Eucharist,
yes,
puts us in Holy Communion.
That's right.
With God.
Amen.
All right. So the vaccination, mm-hmm, it's an unholy, it's a blood sacrifice to Satan.
Oh, yeah.
Am I saying this?
It cuts us off from Christ, in my opinion.
Terry, Satanists are saying this.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I can quote you the Church of Satan in Missouri, the Church of Satan in Michigan. All the top Satanists in the country are saying abortion is our sacrament. It's a blood sacrifice to our father, Satan. So the vax puts you in communion with Satan. This is what this priest is saying in this article, Terry. Of course, he can't be mentioned because, you know, he'll be taken out. But this is exactly what this Greek priest also said in an article that I did last week with Kyle Clement.
Yeah.
The Greek priests that are exorcists over in Athens, Greece, are saying that in many sessions of exorcism, they're interrogating the demons, and the demons are saying, in one session after another to different people in different cities, yes, we're entering people through the vaccine.
This is
exactly what this priest is saying here.
He's
in this
nailing
article.
It. And Jesse, just to give more information to back with what you're saying, there's a study linked to abortion and depression. It gets blacklisted and is rejected by 4 journals for political reasons. Now, again, who's controlling these journals? Well, it's not a faith-filled Christian, that's for sure. I believe that the devil has taken control over a lot of these journals, and they're not going to want to give this information out. It's scientifically irresponsible not to publish these findings, but found that medical communities were unreceptive to them. Why? It doesn't support the narrative. Killing unborn babies is satanic, okay? That's as simple as I can say it. And so those who support this action is supporting the devil.
And then use the fruits of that sacrifice for nefarious means.
Oh, big time.
Like trying to depopulate planet Earth. Not only, Terry, are they guilty of the initial murder of being complicit in it, but then they're trying to use the fruits of that murder to continue to perpetuate depopulation, which is the murder of the human race.
Yeah,
this is evil from the very beginning to the end.
Let me give somebody some good news here. I got a couple that were wedded 77 years ago, World War II veteran. He's 98 years old. What does he do on his 77th anniversary? He gets in his military uniform. His wife gets in his wedding a wedding dress from 77 years ago, and they renew their marriage vows. I'll tell you what, they did more to evangelize the world than anybody else that I know of, in the sense of by example. And this is a couple that are alive. They're 98, 97 years old. 77 years ago, they tied the knot during World War II in 1944. Here's my point. The way the family goes is the way the culture goes. That's what St. John Paul II said. And so that's why we're fighting for. How much better, how much more should we fight for? The children of these families that are dying through abortion? Are you kidding me? I don't want any part of that. We have to oppose it as much as possible. And that means reject the COVID-19 shot. And that's just that's my opinion based on scripture, based on facts, that I don't want to have anything to do with the killing of innocent life. Jesse, take it away.
We serve the Blessed Virgin Mary, the 12-star general, the Virgin most powerful. Pray your rosary every day.
Yep.
Read your Bible every day. This way you wound, inflict pain and torment, and drive demons away from you and your family. Go to Mass as often as possible. Unite your prayers to the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Amen.
Unite your prayers to the sword of St. Michael. And let's continue being prayer warriors and deliver powerful blows to the kingdom of darkness and tear down the gates of hell. What are the gates of hell that we're fighting? Modernism, Marxism, and Masonry. As the first pope of the Catholic Church said, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Become a saint. Don't miss the opportunity. Terry,
and I'll give you one more saint. Saint Maximian Kolbe has a great article in LifeSite News. A saint who fought Freemasons has the battle plan against today's dictatorship. Check it out on LifeSite News. You got to be a high information Catholic. That's the point here, folks. And you know what? We have one question to ask. What state should we be living in, Jesse?
State of grace, friendship with God, free from mortal sin, fighting against venial sin. We'll live in the state of mortal sin.
Absolutely. Up next, the Bible with the Barbers. I'm babysitting, Jess, so my wife's going to solo it on the Bible with the Barbers. They'll join us here on Virgin Most Powerful. Get our app by going to vmpr.org. Support us, the show, by going to catholicrc.org. Lots of downloads. And you want to be a monthly donor, you get lots of monthly programs. Go to vmpr.org. God bless you, and good night.